The Abraham Accord, Harbinger of the Temple Mount Play, about to begin. Written and narrated by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur. Chapter 1. The Abraham Accord. September 17, 2020. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said on Thursday that five more countries are seriously considering striking a normalization deal with Israel following the accord signed by Israel with the United Emirates and Bahrain, Reuters reported. Harbinger of things to come. Meadows would not identify the countries, but said three were in the region. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday that two other countries may soon join the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain in recognizing Israel. Four or five other countries want to come in and normalize ties with Israel following the deal that was signed on Tuesday at the White House with Bahrain and the United Emirates, Trump told a news conference. I talked to two of them yesterday, and they are ready to try, Trump told reporters. You're going to have a whole level of peace in the Middle East without blood all over the sand. I think Saudi Arabia ultimately will come in too. This is my feeling. It is not based on knowledge other than a couple of conversations I had with the king. On Tuesday, Trump told reporters that many more countries are on the way to reaching new peace deals in the Middle East. Asked if he expected Saudi Arabia to follow suit, Trump said, I do. I spoke with the king of Saudi Arabia. He added the move might come at the right time. September 20, 2020. The president recently said he expected Saudi Arabia to join the Israeli-UAE deal. A senior member of the Saudi royal family later stressed that Saudi Arabia's price for normalizing relations with Israel is the creation of a sovereign Palestinian state with Jerusalem as its capital. Saudi Arabia's King Salman bin Abdulaziz reiterated that position during a conversation with Trump last week, saying there would be no normalization with Israel without Palestinian statehood. The announcement of the Abrahamic family house on the Sada'id Island in Abu Dhabi follows a visit by Pope Francis to the UAE in February, the first by a pope to the Arabian Peninsula. During the trip, the pope signed a joint declaration with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Dr. Ahmed Al-Tayyib, that called for religious tolerance and dialogue. An interfaith council to oversee projects advancing tolerance was formed as a result of the declaration and named the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity. The Abrahamic Family House is its first initiative. This is an important opportunity for all who believe in the power of faith and humanity. It will help build bridges between religious leaders and communities, as well as foster peace and harmony in an era that is too often defined by difference, said Rabbi M. Bruce Lustig, senior rabbi at Washington Hebrew Congregation and a Jewish representative of the committee. The design for the Abrahamic Family House by the renowned architect David Adayi was unveiled during a meeting in New York this week, the second for the committee. According to Gulf News, it will take 3 years to complete. The UAE is already home to a synagogue in Dubai, formed in 2008, though it receives quiet support from the Emirati authorities. Its members have largely kept a low profile. The new state-sanctioned synagogue would mark a significant step forward for public worship of Judaism in the Gulf state. The United Arab Emirates will build a new synagogue as part of an interfaith compound that will also house a mosque and church and is reportedly set to open in 2022. In May, Rabbi Yehuda Sarna, the chaplain at New York University, became the first chief rabbi of the Jewish community of the United Arab Emirates. Khalid Latif, executive director of the Islamic Center at NYU, left, and Rabbi Yehuda Sarna, executive director of the university's Bronfen Center for Jewish Student Life, attended the Tribeca Film Festival in New York City, April 17, 2014. The shift in its attitude toward Jewish practice comes as ties between the UAE and Israel have quietly warmed over shared concerns about Iran. Senior Israeli ministers have openly visited the country, and in 2018, Israel's national anthem was played at a judo tournament in Abu Dhabi when its team member won a gold medal. The Higher Committee of Human Fraternity? May 14, 2020. This week's Interreligious Day of Prayer is the first major worldwide initiative of a committee created by the United Arab Emirates following Pope Francis's trip to Abu Dhabi in 2019. The Higher Committee of Human Fraternity is currently comprised of 9 members, 5 Muslims, 1 Jew, a rabbi, 2 Catholics, members of the Roman Curia, and 1 United Nations official with no stated religion in her biography. As I understand, after its constitution, it was thought mainly as a body related to the initiative of the Abrahamic House in Abu Dhabi, a project launched on the occasion of the visit of Pope Francis. Bishop Paul Hinder, Vicar Apostolic of Southern Arabia, told CNA May 14. The Abrahamic Family House will be an interreligious complex in Abu Dhabi designed by David Adayi to house a church, a synagogue, and a mosque on the same foundation. The committee states that it envisions the Abrahamic Family House as a place of dialogue and coexistence among religions when it is completed in 2022. In May, the Higher Committee sent out an appeal for a worldwide day of prayer for humanity on May 14th, as the world faces the coronavirus pandemic. In Italian, English, French, German, Spanish, Arabic, Pashto, Malay, Persian, Swahili, Turkish, Urdu, Chinese, and Hebrew. The committee unveiled a website, YouTube video, and hashtag for the Interreligious Prayer Day, and paid to promote posts on Twitter advertising the initiative. Partners supporting the committee's Prayer for Humanity campaign included the Vatican, Muslim Council of Elders, Al-Azhar Mosque, the UAE Ministry of Tolerance, World Council of Churches, and the UN, Alliance of Civilizations, according to their website. As you can see from the preceding excerpts, the main organizational thrust comes from the papacy for bringing the 3 Abrahamic faiths together, a pre-existing effort. The God's Holy Mountain Initiative had been already underway in Israel to accomplish the same goals on the Temple Mount with the Temple Institute, which participants are also very excited about the Abraham Accord. It is readily conceivable that the 2020 COVID-19 panic has pushed nearly the entire world in lockstep toward the UN 2030 agenda in hyperdrive. In conjunction with this push, I believe that the Temple Mount Initiative is in line to be completed as near to the same timeline as possible. To the end that the 7-year allotted prophetical time frame needs to be accomplished in unison to help crush any Protestant evangelical Bible prophecy-based opposition to the one-world monetary ID implementation, in biblical terms, the mark of the beast. This we have from the Jerusalem Post, September 13, 2020. Is it time to normalize the Temple Mount? It is no coincidence that the deal to normalize relations between the State of Israel and the United Arab Emirates is called the Abraham Accords. The patriarch, common to both Judaism and Islam, is revered by both as the progenitor of both religions and peoples. Isaiah prophesied the Temple Mount in the future will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Perhaps it would be prudent to finally realize this prophecy by allowing Jews and Muslims to pray on the Temple Mount in harmony and accord without one trampling on the rights and liberties of the other. Unfortunately, since Israel retook the Temple Mount in 1967, it has not allowed Jewish worship on its holiest site. While retaining full national sovereignty on the Temple Mount and its environs, religious sovereignty was handed to the extremist Waqf Islamic Religious Trust, which has sought to throw out Jews for the mere moving of lips, holding of Hebrew literature, or the sheer mentioning that there was a temple on the Mount. This status quo has been kept because Israeli leaders do not want to stoke widespread global Islamic anger and riots. It has been openly stated by Israeli authorities that this is a security issue, and upsetting the current order on the Temple Mount could provoke violence. The wall of Islamic rejection to the Jewish state and Jewish sovereignty in its indigenous and ancestral homeland is being taken apart brick by brick. While the conflicts of the past are ending, taboos are certainly being shattered. Arguably, the largest taboo, Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount, also needs to be addressed in concord and unity. As we can arguably observe from the foregoing quotes, the mood in the Mideast is quickly moving toward a resolution on the Temple Mount question. After a 30-year initiative to build, now with the Abraham Accord, we cannot be surprised that we will soon see an agreement to unite the three Abrahamic faiths on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Building on the Temple Mount. The Temple Institute was established in 1987, and its leadership, undaunted by the difficulties, has set a course focusing on the controversial endeavor of establishing the Third Temple. Its long-term aims are to build the third Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, on the site currently occupied by the Dome of the Rock, and to reinstate sacrificial worship. It aspires to reach this goal through the study of temple construction and ritual and through the development of actual temple ritual objects, garments, and building plans suitable for immediate use in the event conditions permit its reconstruction. It runs a museum in the Jewish quarter of the Old City of Jerusalem in Israel. It was founded and is headed by Rabbi Yisrael Ariel. Its current director general is David Schwartz, and the international department is headed by Rabbi Kiam Reichman. New York billionaire Henry Suica has supported the institute. The Israeli government has also provided funding. Several questions arise here. 1. Is it necessary to build the temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? If so, this would require the politically insurmountable obstacle of demolishing the Dome of the Rock. Unfortunately for Israel, the immediate opportunity afforded to them upon taking Jerusalem in 1967 is irretrievably past. Israel must seek a different solution or an alternate building site if they are to ever move ahead on the temple project. Fortunately, there still exists a controversy as to whether the temple must be built on the exact spot occupied by the present Islamic structure, or whether that is even the true location of the historical temple building footprint. Perhaps a solution will be found, or has already been settled upon behind the scenes. Even before the Abraham Accord, such an alternate solution was being offered as well by the Interfaith Encounter Association called the God's Holy Mountain Vision, which states, "This is a vision about transforming the Temple Mount from a place of contention to truly God's holy mountain, a house of prayer for all people." It represents the prophecy of Zechariah 14:9, of the one God worshipped by the entire world in peace together. This vision is proposed by observant Jews based on background papers researched over 5 years. Of particular importance is one, published in Tehumen, the leading periodical of Jewish law in Israel, about the role of the prophet in specifying a precise location on Mount Moriah for a rebuilt temple. After initial consultation with rabbis of stature in Israel, this vision is being presented for thoughtful contemplation to Jews, Muslims, Christians, and those of other religions, including scholars, rabbis, imams, ministers, and the general public. On the website, we find a graphic which is explained thus. The image shown depicts a rebuilt temple in peaceful proximity to the Islamic and Christian shrines in Jerusalem, in fulfillment of the purpose of the temple to manifest the one God to the entire world. This vision is absolutely not about compromise for Jews, Muslims, or Christians. Rather, it is about radical fulfillment of a basic tenet of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, and other religions of the world, to manifest the one God on earth by worshiping the one God together in peace. 2. Is it necessary for the sacrifice to take place in a temple on the Temple Mount? As we have confirmed here in our short opening study, the sacrifice was carried on long before the nation of Israel was even formed, then was codified in practice in the portable tabernacle in the wilderness until Solomon built the first temple. So the answer to this question would be, not necessarily. It would seem that the frequently asked questions page at the GodsHolyMountain.org website agrees, which states, Jewish commentators, in fact, are divided as to whether such practices would resume in a rebuilt temple. However, it is clear that the central role of the temple was always to manifest the one God for the entire world, and that this would be the main function of a rebuilt temple, as it was for the first and second temples. So we see the groundwork being laid for the revocation of any agreement that may include an actual animal sacrifice taking place in a third temple on the Temple Mount. An integral part of the futurist juxtaposed 70th week doctrine is the cessation of the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week, supposedly at the behest of their Antichrist. It is not difficult to speculate how this Temple Mount series of events will play out once it has begun. Whoever is designated to bring forth an agreement or treaty to begin the building of the temple will be identified as the Antichrist, commensurate with the fictional Left Behind series and Counter-Reformation eschatological scheme. The script requires or assumes that animal sacrifice will be part and parcel to the agreement when it begins, but must become a controversy to be renegotiated and done away with at the midway point of the seven-year period. Thus, the identified Antichrist will effectively put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week by this renegotiation, whether a sacrifice is actually ever commenced or not.